an accepted appointment authority that agencies have the ability to use, originally designed as a developmental program. So one of the key components of the FCIP program, a couple of the key components of the FCIP program, one is a two-year program that then has non-competitive conversion authority to it. So, you know, if they successfully complete those 2 years, and in fact, if it's a right fit for the organization has budget, everything else, they can be converted into a full-time position.
And the idea was to get people into, to see whether they even like doing this work, whether the agency likes them, all those kinds of things, like a lot of internship programs. It gives everyone a good chance to almost give it a little trial run, almost.
Yeah, absolutely.
There were two cases brought by veterans, one against OPM, the other against the Department of Veterans Affairs, and then just, what, this week, the Merit Systems Protection Board issued a pretty significant decision.
Basically, the Merit Systems Protection Board issued a ruling and said that the FCIP program, in fact, did not adhere to applying veterans' preference to the program. And basically what the MSPB did was directed OPM to bring it into compliance within 120 days. Chris, this ruling is not unexpected, I think, from what the partnership has seen in on the horizon for, you know, the last several years. I think it's disappointing in many respects in that, you know, originally when the FCIP program came into being back in 2000, it was clear from the executive order that veterans' preference and EEOC requirements were supposed to apply to the FCIP program, and similarly, merit system principles were supposed to apply to FCIP as well. There are a lot of examples across government where veterans are actually hired at a fairly significant rate with the FCIP program as well. Bottom line is, though, you know, there probably was some level of abuse with the program, and, you know, certainly the individual cases that were brought before MSPB, you know, MSPB's ruling is that OPM, you've got to fix this now.
The concern is that, hold on, are we throwing the baby out with the bathwater, to use the very crude phrase?
Yeah, I think that was certainly, you know, one of the very early stances that the partnership took. Do you create a rule around people who are making the exception? So you've got a rule that says that veterans' preference applies, that EEOC requirements apply, that the merit systems principles apply. Yes, there may be some level of those who are not applying it, not using this program correctly, but do you penalize all those other ones who actually are using it and see it as actually a very valuable talent pipeline? And again, are adhering to, you know, the letter of the law and what it's supposed to be doing. You know, ultimately, I think, you know, again, MSPB, based on what the cases that were brought before them, said that some of those things weren't being adhered to. And now we're going to have to figure out the way to move forward.
I was reading the decision last night, but it at least looked to me like there was the potential that you could find ways to make the program work and still meet the concerns of the Merit System Protection Board.
Yeah, I think there are ways to make it work. If you look back at the original intent and the original requirements of the Federal Career Intern Program through the executive order in 2000, I think you, again, will see that several of those requirements are already in place. So, you know, is it stricter enforcement? So I think that's one angle. I actually think that, you know, this may, more than anything else, maybe speed up a piece of another issue that we've talked about frequently, Chris, which is, you know, the presidential memo of May 11th, 2010 around hiring reform and requiring agencies and OPM to move forward in revamping the way that we hire people into federal service. One of the requirements for OPM in that May 11th memo was for them to look at, both evaluate and make recommendations for student pathways into government. I think this will likely, and gave them a time frame for them to do that. I think the ruling now by MSPB, the 120 days that OPM has to bring it into compliance, I think will now be a jettison point for expediting some of the conversation, the future student pathways in. And again, I think what you're going to see is that probably the FCIP that is currently in existence, they aren't going to try to tweak around the edges, but rather let's look at something that is really focused on an internship program in its purest term and or a developmental program in its purest term that looks at really more recent college graduates, not somebody who's been out in the workforce for a long, long period of time to bring in through this authority.
And it seems like trying to find a different way of attaining what is a goal that I think everybody agrees with, which is giving folks who you may not want to be a Fed and giving them at least a taste and tap into that and find out if it's something that works both for the organization and for the people.
Yeah, Chris, again, exactly right. I think one of the issues, you know, that probably has plagued the FCIP program from its initial inception was the fact that intern was actually included in the name, because yeah. Largely it wasn't an intern program in the stereotypical sense of what both those inside government and probably outside government would think of as an internship program. So that in and of itself, I think, you know, is one of the issues that we've been contending with for the last 10 years. I think ultimately, again, as FCIP is now, it will probably, you know, in my estimation, be focused much more on more of a traditional developmental program and or internship for those who are either still in school or, you know, have just graduated as that first step out, developmental kind of. I was recently in Colonial Williamsburg, you know, in colonial days, the apprenticeship type of model where you work for a couple of days and then you become, you know, full-fledged. I don't mean to use that term, you know, pejoratively or anything else, but I think that's conceptually kind of where we're going with this. Again, the key piece of this is a pathway into government service.
And it also struck me that when I was reading through a lot of the stories on this and a lot of the comments on these things, because it's gotten a lot of traffic on our website, so people very much paying attention to this, I think. It almost strikes me that part of what's going on here is the government struggling to a certain degree with this new workforce where people don't come to a job for their entire career. In many ways, this is people are going to spend a couple years. Some may stay 10, 15, but very few are going to stay 30, 35, 40 years anymore.
Yeah, Chris, I think certainly that's a piece of it. I think, you know, one of the other things that kind of plays into all of this as well is, you know, and again, I think a point of contention for several different groups along the way with the use of the FCIP is one of the things that FCIP actually does allow agencies to do is it didn't require a public notice requirement for those appointments.
Yeah.
And again, that's not inconsistent with what the merit systems principles would say, but again, I think, you know, when you begin to engage in very targeted recruitment, and again, I think there's a key differential there, targeted recruitment versus targeted hiring. When you begin to engage in targeted recruitment, though, I think there is at least some perception of inequalities that are actually at play. I think as we look at the federal workforce, as we look at any workforce, though, there certainly are times and places where targeted recruitment absolutely is essential to getting the right person in the door based on a certain type of skill set.
Very nice. Anything I didn't ask you about that I should have?
No, that's...
Actually, let me ask you one last question. So what's the next step here? Merit System Protection Board has issued their... does OPM need to take some... What happens next?
Yeah, so again, Merit Systems Protection Board gave OPM 120 days to bring the FCIP program into compliance. You know, again, I think there's you know, several options, but to me, it seems that there's probably one of two options that are likely on the table. One is they bring the existing FCIP program into compliance and really hold agencies much more accountable and regulate you know their usage of it much more closely. The second, and probably the more
important,
the more likely one,
yeah, more
the
likely
more likely outcome would be that they actually look at an entire replacement of this, much like I said, which feeds into a bigger set of pathway type of programs. So you can see that that there's something for those who are still in college. There's something for those who are coming out of, you know, recent college grads within a few years, you know, those who have. And then you've got the, you know, the PMF program and others like that, too, are which are, you know, some of those more very select programs, some more prestige to them, everything else, that you actually have kind of this cohort of programs that are really designed to bring, to build that pathway, that very vital student pathway in.